The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Welcome to another day, and we are not going to waste much time because we've got a very important guest waiting. Everyone knows the story of Hendon Hooker, transferred from Virginia Tech, of course, where he got a degree, and he is setting the college football world on its ears in his second year at the University of Tennessee, already considered a Heisman candidate and leading the Vols to one of its most important victories in a long time. Hendon, thank you for the time. It's great to see you. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Well, I know it's it's not an easy week. It's an off week for the Vols, but it has to feel a little bit easier this week than last week. Getting ready for Florida. Take us through getting ready and leading, helping to lead the Vols to that critical win at Neyland Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. The biggest thing for us was just preparing. As a normal week, there was a lot of commotion going on around town and around campus. So really, just being vocal leader. And, communicating to my teammates that, this is about us and our preparation. We have to have the same preparation that we do every other week and keeping the outside noise. Once we finish the job and accomplish the mission, then we can celebrate and enjoy the outside noise a little bit.
And I know we're in the middle of football season, but off weeks are not easy to come by, especially at a critical moment. How are you and your teammates, other than doing things like this, enjoying the moment?
Mm-hmm. We're just getting back to work. Every week for us is a 1 week season, and we're preparing for our next 1 week season, and we're preparing the same way that we do every other week, going out every day at practice and competing at a high level. One thing that I vocalized to my teammates today was that this is another work day, and that we should approach it as such. On the days that we have off, we can rest our bodies and get in the training room and the weight room and get our bodies back into playing shape, so that when we do get back out there on the game field, we're ready to go.
And then let's talk a little bit about your move to Tennessee from Virginia Tech, where you were very successful. Not only that, you ended up with a degree there. A lot of choices to make. You made one to go not too far, but what led you to Tennessee?
One thing that really led me to Tennessee was the brotherhood aspect of things. I remember calling a close friend of mine, Bryce Thompson, that was playing here at the time, and kind of asking him, how the environment was amongst the players and the community in Knoxville, as well as calling Emmanuel Mosley, who I played high school football with. He was the quarterback in front of me my freshman year, as he was a senior leaving out, and just looking up to him that whole year and asking him for advice during high school. I did the same thing when I was in the transfer portal and inquiring about Tennessee. I asked him, how was his tenure at Tennessee? And he kind of explained to me that, it's about taking care of business and doing your job. The fans at Tennessee are extremely, extremely bought into the program. And if you're not doing your job, then they'll let you know. But if you are, they're going to love you. So he kind of really vocalized taking care of business was first thing first. And that's something that stuck out to me.
Hendon Hooker with us. Hendon, a lot of people that know you know the backstory on this, but I want to make sure our audience understands. There's football in your family. Your dad, Alan, was really a phenomenal player at North Carolina A&T. He ended up in 86 being the National Black College Offensive Player in the Year. He's in the Hall of Fame. Your brother has also followed suit. Tell us about growing up, hearing about your dad's success and the influence that he had on you and your brother.
Yeah, he's Superman to me and my brother. Anything that we ever wanted to do, he made sure that we knew what it took. We knew what it took to be good at what we wanted to do. He always had a mindset of faith and work, and that's something that our family prides ourselves in. You know, first things first is taking care of that schoolwork, and that's something that he really wanted to make clear to us, that making sure the schoolwork is done first, and then we can play later on. But I still remember to this day waking up in third grade and him taking me to the gym and working out, you know, just basketball, different things that I wanted to do. He made sure that I knew that putting in work was going to get me to where I wanted to be. And my little brother, you know, I'm ecstatic to watch him grow in college football and watch his game as well.
Tell us about, I mean, most people my age don't have maybe been lucky to have done a book, but you, at your age, you've already done a book with your brother, and we're going to show it to the audience on the screen. You mm-hmm. co-wrote a faith-based children's scripture book entitled The ABCs of Scripture for Athletes that came out last Christmas. Tell us about this project and what it meant to both of you.
Yes, sir. You know, it's a huge deal to me and my brother. We're very firm in our faith. I remember last summer my dad kind of pitching it to us. I remember growing up, we had these flashcards with the alphabet on it and the Bible verse to match the alphabet letter. And my dad kind of pitched it to us and said, hey, you know, you should do this, but an athletic theme, you know, to encourage your little cousin to read a little bit more. I have a little cousin named Landon Hooker, and all he wants to do is play ball. So we wanted to encourage him to read a little bit more. And, you know, we put some nice graphics in there to be a little appealing to the child's eye. But it's also a book that could be read by any age group when you're looking to build your faith and also get into a little scripture as well.
Hendon, I mentioned your undergraduate degree, and I understand you're also pursuing a graduate degree right now. Tell us what you are doing with that and how it's going.
Yes, sir. Leadership and development is what I'm getting my master's in. I want to be a coach one day. So, you know, just really trying to understand how to lead the younger generation in the right direction, and learning how people learn, and learning how to approach people and talk to them in different ways in order to get the best out of them. You know, that's something that I can take from the classroom and apply it straight to my teammates here at Tennessee, and also family members as well.
Let's get to the football field for just a second, because you know, people all over the country are talking about you. I was with Keyshawn Johnson, the All-Pro Hall of Fame receiver, yesterday on a show, and he was saying you've been the most impressive player that he's seen all year, and a lot of people are echoing that. But and I know you're not going to talk about that, but take us onto the football field and give us a description of what it's like to play to run that operation under Coach Heupel, because it's breathtaking, and you get out of breath just watching it. What's it like to be mm-hmm. to be the quarterback of this team?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's a very quarterback-friendly offense. Coach Heupel has a lot of trust in me, you know, to make sure that my guys are in the right positions. And one thing that I like to do is spread the ball around, spread the love around. And when everyone's touching the ball and having a good time, that's when we're at our best, when everyone's loose and really playing free. And that's something that Coach Heupel always preaches on, is just having fun, you know, during the process, enjoying that process. Many hours are definitely spent, you know, in the film room when it's just quarterbacks and receivers, or just conversations amongst me and the offensive line and running backs talking protections and making sure that we're all on the same page, so that when game time comes, we're taking what we've learned in the classroom from the coaches and what we've discussed as players in having player meetings. We can hit the field and move extremely fast as we do, and be efficient as well while we're out there.
Hendon, I mentioned it at the beginning, and I'm sure it's awkward when people lay platitudes and praise on you, understanding how humble you are, but when you see that you're now among the favorites for the Heisman Trophy, are you able to let that affect you, or do you just try to block it out and saying, listen, that's for another day?
Yeah, you know, it's icing on the cake. You know, one thing that I came here to do was win ball games, and that's what my goal is to do, and to lead my teammates to victory, not just, you know, on the field, but off the field as well, be a good role model and a good leader to my teammates. But, you know, the Heisman and all the accolades is a blessing. I remember as a kid, you know, dreaming of just being in this position and actually being here. I'm extremely honored and blessed, you know, to receive those kind words from people. And, you know, just moving forward, I'll continue to do my best and do my job as well, and that's to lead and to generate W's in that column.
It seems almost surreal. I know it's not for you because you've put all the work in, but as we close this conversation, and I can't thank you enough for your honesty and you being so humble, what has it been like to be part of what is one of the most exciting programs in the country, and to see that fan base get to enjoy that moment Saturday night was so rare and really unprecedented in recent Tennessee history?
Yeah, it was great. You know, one thing that Tennessee does is they show a lot of support. Vol Nation shows a lot of support, and we thank you, Vol Nation, for your support and love. And as well as, you know, just the rest of the campus, the School of Tennessee, they show a lot of support. And, you know, we can't thank them enough. I can't thank them enough just sitting here. I've said thank you about four or five times. But it was a special moment, not just for the players, but, you know, our families as well, being in that position. I was kind of afraid that everyone would rush the field, but security did a great job and everyone kept their composure at the end of the game. But it's really a blessing to just be here and know that we put in a lot of work to get here, and we have a lot more work to do. We haven't even played our best ball yet. So, you know, we're excited for the strides to come down the road.
Hendon, they may be waiting for another game down the road a couple of weeks from now to rush the field, but we'll leave that for another day. you have an off week and then obviously a trip to LSU. Listen, thank you so much. I can't remember the last time we talked to someone as humble and as sincere and as genuine as you. So you be well, and we're all cheering for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What an amazing conversation with Hendon Hooker. Doesn't matter what your fan loyalty is, you have to cheer for him. Let's take a break. We're off and running here on a midweek show. It's Wednesday, and stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back. Really fun to start with Hendon Hooker, and now the rest of the show. We will get to our normal beginning, but we wanted to start right with Hendon, so we will do what we normally do 18 minutes ago now with sharing with you some of the headlines of the day. And there's a lot of nitpicking going on concerning the University of Georgia. I don't know why, but that's just the way it goes sometimes when you're number one and some people say you are the new Alabama. But Georgia will be okay as they head to Missouri. Meanwhile, in Arkansas, KJ Jefferson ready to move past a catastrophic fumble. They need to quickly. Alabama is in town. Meanwhile, Alabama trying to figure out how to get ready for Arkansas, they are going to use the A&M loss as a cautionary tale. They might want to wait till next week to use that, but they're welcome to try. Meanwhile, Will Anderson saying it's disrespectful to step on the field against him. It's not disrespectful, Will. It's ridiculously stupid because you're going to get your head taken off. But if you like disrespectful, that's fine with me, sir. And you heard Heather allude to a minute ago, the CFP management meeting has ended in Chicago with no decision. Of course. Have they ever ended with a decision? They will meet again in a few weeks. Obviously, some of the commissioners are trying to get frequent flyer mileage. Heather will join us in a few minutes. Nick Kelly will talk to the out-of-pocket folks, even though there's a different one this week. And David Basil will join us on the Arkansas-Alabama game from Arkansas. Let's get back to the calls. And Hugh is in Deep Gap, North Carolina.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
I'll have to tell you, as a diehard Kentucky fan, I would be a happy camper to see the Hooker kid win the Heisman Trophy.
Boy, he was amazing, wasn't he?
Oh, he's what a terrific young man. And I think Robinson last, one of your earlier shows, who was his teammate at Virginia Tech, summed it up best, said he's a terrific human being, and he made the choice to go to Tennessee because it was a real opportunity in that system to show what he could do, and he said the same reason I came to Kentucky. But with that said, here's what I want to talk to you about. I've finally decided to call after four games. I'm reticent to make much in the way of predictions until we get about a third of the way through the season. Paul, I don't know how you see it, but from my eyes and my couch and what I have seen of the Southeastern Conference, I don't think there's a touchdown difference between any of the top eight teams in the Southeastern Conference. What do you think?
Well, I do. I think there are two elite teams, and then there's a number of very good teams. And I think the difference is trying to figure out the next group. But I have no doubt that Alabama and Georgia are more than a touchdown better than everyone else.
Well, given their rosters and the way they've recruited, one would be led to believe that. But I do believe this is the first year that the transfer portal is going to play a major role in how the conference shakes out. And I think the thing that very few people, other than a few soreheads, are talking about is the quality of the coaching staffs that are put together and what they're capable of developing. To that end, all the talk about Kentucky's offensive line being soft, there's people have a very short memory. Kentucky hasn't had a good pass offensive line, really, in about 7 years. They played zone blocking, knock 'em out John, and they had hammers back there that could run through the first tackle. And they've not had that this year until this week. So it remains to be seen. The San Francisco 49ers West Coast offense features a very sophisticated blocking style that it's hard for any team to get into that has not been running that the first year they do it. I'm hopeful that progress will be made. But one thing's for certain, the best NFL predictor that there is, Mel Kiper, believes that Will Levis will be one of the first two quarterbacks chosen in the NFL draft. And his reason for saying that is that he's getting the kind of training that will make him NFL ready the first day. Now, one more point about the Hooker kid. You have to love the fact that he completed an undergraduate degree and he used his opportunity to get an education wisely. Just as the starting offensive center for the Jaguars did, that graduated from Kentucky after 6 years with 2 degrees in engineering plus a master's in business administration. It's very seldom you see a rookie come in the NFL and take over a starting center position that makes the line calls. That's a smart kid that's a great athlete and has the size to be great. That speaks volumes about coaching and about fundamental development. And frankly, that will overcome all the stars that you may have from your recruiting. That's my opinion. I did pretty well with a healthy bet against Florida, and I'm considering the same thing, a 6.5-point line with Mississippi State. For my money, the most dangerous team Kentucky has left to play is Mississippi State, because Leach puts together some powerful game plans that are hard to overcome. That's my comment, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm reading a book right now called Smart Brevity, The Power of Saying More with Less, which will lead me to this break here, saying Heather Dinich is next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So what did happen today in Chicago, and does it mean anything? That's why we are saying hello now to Heather Dinich, who's had the great fortune of hanging out all day. Heather, why don't they just let you in these meetings? Why do you have to wait outside?
Well, because I'm a professional lobby lurker, Paul. I mean, if I went inside the meeting, I'd figure it all out, and everybody would be really embarrassed. So they just keep me outside.
So I've read some of the predictable and prosaic comments from all the usual suspects. So tell us what really happened today and what it means.
Well, Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick came out and spoke to a small group of reporters here at the Big Ten headquarters, and he said that the one thing they did accomplish here in Rosemont, Illinois, is separating the list of what they absolutely have to do in order to get this done and things that eventually will need to be done. And some of those things at the top of the list is figuring out the calendar. That's the biggest obstacle. And figuring out if Atlanta and Miami, which have already been determined as the host cities for the national championship in the final 2 years of this current contract, can those cities accommodate convention center, the hotels, and everything else that needs to be done in an expanded playoff format. So the calendar and the cities, I think, are at the top of the list right now, but they also have to figure out revenue distribution, TV contract, ticket allocations, how the New Year's Six bowl games would handle the rotation. Swarbrick said to me, as we were heading into these meetings, he said there's probably about 1,000, no, that's an exaggeration, there's probably about 100 things that we have to sort through to get this done. But he came out today and he was very optimistic, and he said that there wasn't anything in particular that they talked about that made this impossible, and he was encouraged by that.
Yeah, I'll spare you all my snarky remarks about, you know, if you hired somebody at a Fortune 500 company as opposed to a bureaucrat working at a college, they could probably handle all this in 5 minutes. But interpreting Jack Swarbrick, what is he really saying, Heather?
He's saying that if everyone can come to agreements, this can actually get done. But again, it goes back to a lot of the logistics in terms of the host cities. Atlanta is up first, and Bill Hancock referenced yesterday that that's the trickiest, obviously, because it's up soonest. But people also have to remember that they're not just talking about 2024. They might say eventually, we can't do 2024, but we can do 2025. And Hancock, the way he described it today was, look, we're getting an expanded playoff in 2026. Anything else would be icing on the cake.
Yeah, Bill, it might be worth reminding you, although I don't think I need to remind you, that this was tentatively agreed to be in 23 a couple of years ago, but why bother spitting out the past when we're dealing with the CFP? Heather, your best guess, if you have one, can they do this?
Look, we joke about me being a lobby lurker, but that's what I've done as far as CFP meetings go. So personally, I am in I will believe it when I see it mode with early college football playoff expansion. As we get closer to October 20th, they are going to have some more feedback from on-campus focus groups that they've had. They'll probably have at least one video conference with the commissioners. Can they answer all of these questions by then? Paul, honest to goodness, it depends on who you ask. Jack Swarbrick came out here and he was very encouraging. Other people are certainly tempering expectations. So I've been going to these meetings long enough that, again, I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay. I'm trying to understand this because, I mean, all these other people have day jobs, of course, running athletics at Notre Dame, running conferences. Who is this really left to? Are we talking about the CFP infrastructure that needs to figure all this stuff out? Is that what we're talking about here?
We are talking about the 10 FBS commissioners and Swarbrick. That's who it is, because the 11 university presidents and chancellors who voted on September 2nd to expand the playoff, that was the easy job. Hey, let's go to 12 in 2026. Then they pushed the grunt work back to the commissioners and said, okay, now you guys figure out how to implement it. And not just by earlier, perchance, but also in 2026. I mean, as we talk about the contract, it goes through 2025. The new contract doesn't exist. So as they're starting to figure out these answers to potentially years 11 and 12, they're also starting to put together the puzzle for what the college football playoff will look like beyond that.
And where does television fit into all of this, Heather?
So currently, as it sits now, ESPN, as most people know, is the sole rights holder through the 2025 season, but they've got to figure out the contract for those first round games, which are going to be at home. So ESPN would have first rights over that. But that's something that they have to talk about because currently that doesn't exist. There's going to be first round games, quarterfinals, semifinals, and a national championship. So the television aspect is certainly one part of it, but then you go beyond the current contract, and I can tell you, people in the room certainly want multiple broadcast partners at some point.
What needs to be decided in terms of how to share the money? Revenue sharing, I guess.
Right. That's one of the biggest questions. And I asked Jack Swarbrick today, would it stay the same? Just basically have the same business contract continue? And he said that he's not necessarily a part of those discussions because he's not a conference commissioner, he's an athletic director, but he said that it seemed unlikely that revenue distribution would stay the same. So that's also a big question, as is the payout for the teams that participate in the college football playoff.
Heather, I know you've got to get out of there, so we're not going to be responsible, especially with storms moving up and down the country to prevent you from making your plane. Thank you so much for joining us. We always enjoy it.
Thanks, Paul.
Heather Dinich joining us from Rosemont, Illinois, which is right outside of Chicago, in case you were wondering. Charlie is next in Wicksburg. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, brother?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I want to take just a little bit to talk about your show, and then I got some picks if I can give them to you and see what you think for the legend since
right.
He lost his butt down in Vegas. Is that
sure
all right?
Did. Whatever you'd like, Charlie.
You know, your show's more than just a sports talk show. It's a variety entertainment show. It's got comedy. It's got drama. Sometimes you got some tragedy. But, you know, you got some music coming in, too. You know that girl yesterday that can sing that Georgia Orange song. Why don't you get her to do you a halftime show song? You know, Taylor, this Taylor Hicks song is a great song, but, you know, you need to put a little bit more variety in your halftime. That's just all I got to say about that Orange song. But, you know, you don't need Jim to make your show better, Paul, because you just got to be yourself. Just keep it up, Paul. And how do you do what you do? I mean, I got some picks. I used to be a gambling man. And, you know, I do parlays and all that. But Clemson sort of cleaned my plow back when we had the best team in the world with Tua at quarterback. But here I'm going to go. I'm going to give you my five best, and you can put them in a parlay. Kentucky in the points, unless Katy Perry's down there throwing corn dogs at the crowd. If she's down there throwing corn dogs, that bet's off. You know, just don't do it. Probably take Kansas in the money line with Iowa State. I think Kansas is motivated. Iowa State don't have what they used to. That you got to have a money line if you're going to do a parlay, and you got to have an underdog. So I like that as an underdog. I think I like Wake Forest getting the points against Florida State.
Hey, Charlie, if I could interrupt here for a second, and I don't mean this to be rude because I've always enjoyed talking to you, but can you give us a reason why you think anyone is interested in your predictions?
Legend might be because, I mean, no. I used to be good at it.
I don't think he is. We'll take a short break. We are coming back. If you want to give us predictions, you're welcome to buy airtime during the breaks. We'll sell them to you for a good price. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And what a great first hour it has been. We started with Hendon Hooker. We had Heather Dinich, and now Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Well, Paul, thank you very much. That's the best intro you've given me in about 13 years. Not really. I appreciate it. But you know what, Paul? Sometimes you are so predictable, but then there's times that you are so unpredictable. And a while ago, man, I loved it. That's what I like about you. I either really, really like you, or I really don't like you sometimes. Man, I'm just straight shooting, like you said I was doing many times. But when you said from Charlie from Wichesburg?
Wichesburg.
Wichesburg.
Wherever that is.
Is the right name. Anyway, when you told that guy at the end, said, "I don't think anybody cares what you say or think," I loved it. That was great, and I mean, I guarantee you, a lot of people feel the same way about Charlie. Charlie, about another redneck, you know, don't like me. Hey, Charlie, what? They need me, but they don't like you. They don't need you, guarantee. Anyway, sometimes you surprise the heck out of me. You really do.
Well, sometimes, Jim, sometimes I forget I work at ESPN.
That's what I'm trying to get you to do.
Yeah,
I'm trying to really
Once in a while, I think I'm back at the old studio, just you and me.
And you're headed that way, I promise you.
Oh, there's no
doubt. You're headed that way, I can see.
Maybe there soon, like tomorrow.
One more thing I want to say. Appreciate you mentioning yesterday that I said nothing. I didn't do any of that. Your old miserable, creepy gatekeeper, whatever, you know, that old show. He looks just like that creepy guy. But anyway, he did all that. He could. You know why, Paul? He knew. He can't handle me. He knew he can't keep up with me in a conversation. I was gonna be real nice, I might not have been nice, but I was gonna be quiet, calm. And the minute he heard my voice, he started cussing out. He probably wanted to get dumped because he knew he couldn't handle what I was gonna give him and all the lies he told about me. His day's coming, Paul. His day's coming. He'll reap what he sowed. I'm telling you, and I don't mean that as a threat to him. I'm just telling you, people like him, they finally get what they deserve, and that's the way things work out. You know, I think you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and
no,
it ain't karma. It ain't karma. It's not karma. It's God working. I'm telling you, that's how it works. But anyway, I appreciate you mentioning
well,
that.
Thank
I
you.
Did no cussing on that.
Well, no, I wanted to make that clear because it was really. I think you're right. It's like he once his corner threw in the towel, then he started cursing you. He knew it was safe.
And the reason I wanted to make it clarified is because, you know, when you ended the call with him, you said, somebody said something, you said, well, the curse words were flying everywhere. And I knew everybody would think, well, I was doing the cussing, or at least I was doing some of it, and I did none of it. He did it
all.
Yeah,
no, I'm glad we cleared that up, because he was the devil there, not you.
He is the devil. Okay. Thank you very much.
So appreciate
Thank
you correcting God. My grammar there. You're right. Ken is up next in Alabama. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great.
Paul, let me say this right quick. Jim, I'm glad you said that to Jim. You made it feel like $1 million. You did the best thing you could do for Jim today. I'm sure Jim's walking around feeling like a king right now. But anyway, what I wanted to get to, Paul, was this right here. Hendon Hooker is never going to be a Heisman. And I want to know why you sports people put people like that on this time of the year and call them Heisman winners. That you basically told that kid he was a Heisman winner. He's not a Heisman winner, Paul.
Well, I don't know what you heard, Ken. I said he was a Heisman contender, not a winner.
But Paul, you made it sound like he's right up there with him.
Well, he is.
We don't know.
Ken. He is.
Nobody knows right now who's going to win.
Ken, you misunderstood. They have these polls that come out every week, and right now he's among the favorites to win. That's what I'm talking about.
I understand what you get there, Paul, but my point is this. I hate to see some of these kids, some of these young kids, to be built up and made to think that they
But Ken, that's part of playing athletics. You're going to be built up, and then you're going to be torn down. And I think Hendon Hooker, after visiting with him a minute ago, is very capable of dealing with the ebbs and flows and the vagaries of the media. Hey, thank you for the call. I-Man is up next.
You know, Paul, sometimes you just shock me. Sometimes I really like you, and sometimes I really don't like you. You know, I really appreciate the way you cater to Jim. And I really appreciate the way you will put Jim on anybody's phone call. But if somebody calls while he's running his face and got his rectum ring up around his eyebrows, you won't give me the opportunity to get on his call, but you'll put old Peanut Head right in on my call. And I really appreciate the fact that you're saying, oh, and I man start cursing. Is cursing worse than cussing? You know, sometimes Paul,
I think cussing is worse than cursing.
Sometimes an appropriate cuss word to a guy like Jim. See the difference in me and you? I said it to his face, and I didn't know the word ass was a cuss word.
But when you add a second part ring, to that word, then you're going
the pinching muscle. I mean, the pinching muscle, that makes it real. That's cursing.
That's cursing.
I just called him what he was.
No, it's not cursing. It's not cursing, man. That's not cursing. It's cussing.
What is it?
Cussing.
Well, that's just damn like cussing. That's a country boy ass whooping kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I really appreciate the way you coddle him, make him feel so good about himself.
Well, but you know, I'm sorry if you got your feelings hurt there, I-Man.
I didn't get my feelings hurt. You don't hurt. Listen, you're not capable of hurting my feelings.
Well, you sound like you got your shorts in a jam right now.
No, you're the one who got your shorts in a jam.
Okay.
Jim's up your
now
butt,
you want,
not
now
mine.
You want to start, now you want to go name calling with me. I mean,
No. Jim's the one's got his head in your shorts, not mine.
Ooh.
I mean, you know, Paul, you're really about, what are you, about 12'6"? Because you a good 6'2", and Jim says he's 6 foot, so that's got to make you at least 12'2". And if Jim holds his neck up.
If I could interject here, you're that green-eyed monster's working you over right now.
No, it's not.
I mean, you're
no,
just jealous of Jim right now. Admit it. Go ahead. Admit it to everybody here at the pulpit that you're just jealous of Jim.
Why would I be jealous of somebody who's never accomplished anything? Why would I be jealous of the best-known liar
now,
that's
now
ever
we're
come
going,
on this
now
program?
Now we're putting the defense mechanisms
in. No, we're
going defensive
here. We're playing facts. That's not defensive. Those are facts. Those are pure facts. And you called him out on it. I'm repeating you.
Now you're now you're making me eat my own words, and I'm not hungry.
Hey, listen, it's called alphabet soup. It's spelled J-I-M. I mean, you know, what's that thing? What did he say?
I'm trying to help you here. I feel like we've known each other a long time. You're in quicksand.
We've known each other a long time.
Your legs. Just calm down.
I'm not kicking my legs.
Take the L. Let it go. It's no big deal. It's just a midweek game.
I'm trying to Paul, listen to me. Paul, you're stepping all over a good call.
No, I'm stepping over a loser's call. I got bad news for you. This is not a good call. This is a guy who is hung up on the other guy, and the whole call has been about trying to make yourself feel better, but I'm feeling worse about you.
No. I mean, I just, you know, you're talking about, we had to cut it out for the cussing. I mean, the word ass is not cussing.
Jim brought some new content to the show today.
He brought some fresh air. He didn't bring
You're
anything.
Bringing in the same stale air from yesterday.
Well, I mean, and that's what you did. I mean, how long are y'all going to talk to that girl about this college playoff? Like, y'all got the answers.
Well, by the way, that girl happens to be a woman, and I happen to think a lot of her. I don't look at her maybe in the same skewed way that you do.
How do you know it's skewed?
Well, I can tell by your attitude.
My attitude? Because I called her a girl?
Yeah, you don't
she's
call
not
grown
a boy.
Women who are parents of three children a girl. That's she's a woman.
Well, at my age, she's a girl. Is there a problem? Oh, am I not politically correct enough for you today?
Politically correct. You're not politically anything. You're a creep. You're a lying old creep.
You've been a jackass your whole life,
dummy?
And
you
will continue
your old man?
To be one.
Can you handle it, you old dumbass? Can you handle it? You can't handle nothing.
You need to change your name to I Confess.
You need to confess. You ain't got no chance of doing nothing well. You're a dummy. You're old dummy lying man. Lying all the time. All you can do is lie.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.